Welcome to Renegade Thinkers Unite, a show that will help you transform your marketing from mere messaging to programs that break the rules and make a difference. Join the movement today and learn non-traditional techniques that give you an edge. Now, here's your chief marketing renegade, Drew Neiser.
My guest today is Dan Marks, Chief Marketing Officer of Hancock and Whitney Bank, which is headquartered in the greater New Orleans area and serves the entire Gulf South from Texas around the Gulf into Florida. In addition to being a great contributor to my book, it's the metrics chapter in the CMO's periodic table. Dan was the recipient of the CMO Award for all around brilliance. Welcome, Dan.
Thanks, Drew. Great to be on this.
So I know that renegade and banking are probably not two terms that you want to put together too often, but tell me a little bit, I have this theory that there's a little bit of renegade in every CMO. What is one way that you apply sort of renegade thinking, if you will?
Yeah, I think you're right about renegade and banking. But in terms of renegade as kind of the spirit of the creator or the innovator and pushing the envelope, 100% agree with you. And when I think about what we've done, you know, I may be in the minority here, but I believe a great CMO needs to embrace both the art and the science of marketing. So it's not one or the other.
And so that's an interesting place to sort of focus on for a second, because I do think there's an epic struggle. There's the new school who says we can do all of this programmatically. We can do all of this with sort of lots and lots of science. And I'm a believer in the science, but I feel like the pendulum may have swung too far for a lot of marketers. How do you make sure there's a balance?
Yeah, the critical part to be a balance is to remember that we are ultimately serving people, and so people respond to purpose. So whether or not that's B2B or B2C or our associates, we all have human needs and human emotions and desires and thoughts, and so ensuring that what we focus on, what we deliver, what we sell, what we develop appeals to and resonates with people, to me is the art part and the emotion, and then the science can be a powerful tool to make sure that we're doing gets results and helps us achieve and continuously improve. But you make a very great point that just doing the science without starting with the purpose is a recipe for failure, just like only stopping at the purpose and not getting to the science can also leave us falling short.
So is there a particular non-traditional technique that you've used with success in the last couple of years?
Sure. So from a non-traditional perspective, and I'm sure we're the only industry that tends to focus mostly on our industry. I'm sure no other industry would do that. But to kind of break out of the mold, I encourage the team to be inspired by what's happening in other categories, in other industries. So we don't just benchmark ourselves or compare ourselves to other banks or other financial services providers. We look at what's happening with people in other categories, and so there's a few examples of where that thinking has led to unexpected insights that have paid off from a business perspective.
I'm really curious what those are. You know, it's so interesting that you say that a lot of times we're only fighting for share of voice against these three other banks. The reality is there's a struggle for share of voice against every brand, and you're competing against Google and Apple and Tesla and everything just for share of mind. And so I'm curious what when you looked at some of these other categories, where you found inspiration and what kinds of what were the results?
Sure. Well, you mentioned technology, and certainly banking has been a foundation of actually banking, of embracing technology You know, you go back to banks were some of the first to adopt computers, and ATMs were early, and online and mobile. And so there's a number of things from a technology perspective. And so and so recently looking at how does Apple do a beautiful job of showing and creating excitement about what they do. And some, you know, some might say that banking is inherently intangible, but there's tangible parts of what we do, from our cards to our mobile apps to our people that, you know, one example is being inspired by showing and not telling, and doing it in a very, emotional way. We, you know, in a past life, we got some great success, in showing our people and using, showing our people and our customers and using them to tell the stories, in a perhaps more authentic way than just a sort of made up example. And then, you know, more recently, we were inspired by the fact that, really compelling brands, do a nice job of wrapping a bigger story around their products and services. And so, you know, when it comes to collateral design, we didn't just, you know, put together a standalone brochure for some new small business products. We actually created a what we call a catalog, which wraps those products with the bigger story, and has had great reception and helped launch some new products in a compelling way.
Interesting. So story I'm curious what the story was. What was the bigger story?
Well, so part of our story, and this is one of the reasons it's Hancock and Whitney are so compelling, is from its founding, in the 1800s, the bank was chartered to help, create opportunities and, for the communities and the clients that we serve. And so, we look at everything through the mission of how are we helping people achieve their goals and dreams. Money and what we do is certainly an important mechanism for that, but there's ultimately a bigger purpose, and it's beyond just the transaction. So when we launched these products, we wanted to make sure that we were focused on the customer or the client and what we're doing for them, how we're helping them run their business better. You know, not necessarily just the features and benefits, which the features and benefits are nice, but that's kind of the foundation.
So as you look at that and you're telling a story of commitment to community, we all know that it's really hard to cut through today. What's the one thing that you do to make sure that that your marketing for the bank cuts through?
Yeah, so perhaps like a renegade, I really don't think too much about cutting through the clutter from an advertising perspective. What I want to do is, and this is kind of an Ogilvy school of thought of how do we make heroes of what we do for our clients? And how can we be so relevant to their needs and connecting with them on a personal level as well as a rational level that, you know, they sort of can't help but buy from us or recommend us from our friends and family.
Love that focus. So let's we're going to take a quick break. But when we come back, we're going to let's zero in a little bit on state-of-the-art marketing and perhaps maybe dive into data a bit more. So we'll be right back.
Renegade Thinkers Unite is brought to you by Social Media Explorer, the website that explores the world of social media from the inside out. Great advice from today's leading social media columnists and experts at socialmediaexplorer.com. That's socialmediaexplorer.com.
Okay, we're back. My guest is Dan Marks, the CMO of Hancock & Whitney Bank. Dan, can you give an example of what you consider state-of-the-art in marketing today?
Yeah, I think state-of-the-art in marketing today is all about connecting with people about where they are and doing it with you know, the tools that work. And increasingly that means a heavily digital tool set. So, you know, we certainly don't want to be in the realm of kind of having a tools for the tool's sake, but people are, you know, they're looking for connection, they're looking for information, they're looking for to be inspired and in new ways. And so harnessing those digital tools are critical. But like we talked about before, realizing that it's using these tools to connect with people where they are and where they're going, rather than just sort of getting enamored with the technology for technology's sake.
You know, it's interesting as we talk about digital, and I start to think about mobile phones and the small little space that I have to work with. How do you take these little phones and the digital ads and so forth, and maybe there's other things that you're doing, but make sure that, you know, that a story is coming across. I mean, I think about a search term, right? I'm in search for banking, and you've got six words. That's it. How do you make sure that as you move to digital, that you're still getting some kind of emotional story out there? Is it possible?
It is, if we view it as more as a symphony rather than individual instruments. So by that I mean, you know, like you said, each individual digital touch point is, you know, a fraction of the time. But you know, marketers have been dealing with, you know, attention-starved consumers or business people as customers or prospects for, you know, ever since the, well, forever. But certainly even in the TV age with, you know, competing for a few seconds of attention between the show. And so thinking about it as a cohesive whole and how are we telling the story and how are we being relevant at different times and in places. And so, you know, search, for example, is a great bottom of the funnel type tactic, right? So most of the time when people are searching, they're heavy into the consideration or even the purchase stage, right? You know, we've all done that. I need X. I'm going to go search for X and I'm going to make a buying decision pretty quickly. So you have to be in search. But what influences those, that where the story comes in, is in, well, first of all, it has to be an authentic value proposition, because you know, you never, it was never a good idea to try to fool consumers, because that could you know, only get you so far, right? But now, more so than ever, with the instant information exchange and you know, social media, so the story is more and more told by the client, and so harnessing that and equipping them, you know, with social. I think it's really interesting right now, the whole issue of credibility, and how do you know what's credible online or in, you know, in real world, is probably an emerging topic that, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out.
That's interesting. So we could be talking about brands and fake news and what's real brand, what's a message for the brand, what isn't. Is that what you're talking about? Is this sort of what is credible in terms of the marketplace and as a source of information?
That's right. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's, sort of Web 2.0 was all about harnessing the wisdom of the crowd and connecting in ways. And, you know, people have sort of good and bad, right? We, you know, the schoolyard bully existed before there was Facebook. And now, you know, I think people are seeing that humans behave like humans, whether or not they're online or, you know, offline. But any kind of media, with the power of social media, certainly amplifies whatever, including, you know, the good stuff and the bad stuff. And so I think my sense is we're just on the cusp of entering a phase of you know, what is the equivalent of journalistic standards for the age when everybody can publish.
Yeah. it's true. What's content? What's just what has any truth? You're right. Is there a particular channel either within digital that you're excited about right now, or is it just about, you know, we've got this massive mix and it's about optimizing the mix? But if you look out there, and it's like, I'm a big fan of Instagram, and I see that as a really growing opportunity for marketers, particularly if they use video. Is there something that you're looking at and saying, gee, I'm excited about this and really want the bank to participate?
Yeah, there are some things that we are putting more, wood behind the proverbial arrow on. I'd probably want to be hesitant to, let, too many of our good ideas out, for what we're working on right now. But just that pattern of the bank has this incredible mission and core values, and the company lives its core values, better than so many others, even going back to how we've helped our communities in sort of good times and bad, whether or not it's, Hurricane Katrina or the South Mississippi or the South Louisiana flooding last year that impacted 100,000 people. And we responded within hours with donations and special loan assistance and just, you can go on and on about how we really do live out our mission and core values. And so I think that's, rather than a specific channel, I think that's one of the things that's most energizing right now, is just prioritizing on how do we leverage a variety of channels to amplify that and to tell those stories to more and more people. Because, we've had a great year over the last year, a lot of momentum as we sort of doubled down on really working as a, teamwork's always been a core value. And I've seen just more and more examples of teamwork at the company and how we are, pulling together and to help the client. And that's what fundamentally more so than any specific channel is inspiring and energizing for the team.
Okay, so that's interesting, and I get that. I'm curious if there's a place or a tool that you go to, a resource that you go to keep your saw sharp, your marketing saw, to make sure that you're making sure that the symphony is as current and effective as it could be, harmonious perhaps.
So. Great question about resources and how do we stay sharp and how do we add new ideas to the quiver to test. I mean, we're big on test and learn, and so you have to constantly add new ideas. We really enjoy connecting. So as we talk to others, we talk to clients, we talk to associates, we get inspired by what opportunities can we help clients with? But then in terms of marketing, you already mentioned your book, which I thought was a good one. The CMO's guy, periodic table of elements was fantastic, despite, some of your choice in contributors.
It really was
good. And so, reading, connecting, the CMO club you mentioned is a great source of exchanging ideas, and then just so talking to other marketers, reading what's going on, and then that innate sense of curiosity of what's happening in other industries, and how can we be inspired by that, not to just sort of copy and paste, but what do we learn about how are people connecting with people, and what could be inspired by and try.
Got it. Excellent summary there. I have one last question for you. What's the toughest lesson you've learned when it comes to marketing?
The toughest lesson from marketing to me is you can't do everything. I mean, that spirit of sort of renegade or pioneer or innovation, I'd love to try 500 new things every year and see what works, because that's the sort of this experimental nature and creative. But you just can't do everything. And so ultimately we've got to prioritize, and certainly with some of the tools available, you can try more things. You can, you know, sort of try something quickly without having, you know, a print cycle or whatever, but ultimately you can't do everything. And so that's just the, you know, I probably have to, my team probably wishes that I had that lesson, you know, front and center.
So, Dan, this has been great. I really reinforced a number of things that I personally believe. I'm going to take a crack at summarizing. But first and foremost, what I heard is the importance of an organization serving a purpose. Obviously, in the bank's case, it's your customer. Love the fact that you're inspired by other industries, so you stay curious and are constantly looking for ideas elsewhere. When it comes to ideas, there is such a thing as too many, and it's important to focus and sort of test yourself, test your way. Don't try to do everything, but do a few things, learn from them, keep adding to them. Lastly, I heard a lot about culture and acknowledging the culture of the company, using that culture, in your case, a pioneering brand that was chartered in the 1800s, to inspire employees to sort of live up to a particular standard. And certainly, if your employees aren't on board with the brand, there's probably no hope for you. So with that, I think we had a lot of good renegade thinking. So Dan, thank you so much for being on the show.
Drew, my pleasure. Thanks for the invite.
This has been Renegade Thinkers Unite, but it doesn't end there. Just go to RenegadeThinkersUnite.com for more and subscribe to the show. That way, you'll never miss an episode. We'll talk with you next time on Renegade Thinkers Unite.